well, good evening. I'm laughing because our engineer still cuts off the music and doesn't let it fade. Good evening, everyone. Good morning, where you are in the world. Good afternoon, if you are late afternoon, if you're on the West Coast. Evening and early evening and night, Central Time and East Coast. Welcome to Mindful Mondays, where we get our minds together and helping ourselves with this mental health and just everything mental health, everything mindful. And so I'm excited to be here yet another week. Let's see. Kenny, did you do anything exciting this weekend?
It depends on what you call exciting. I actually
barbecue.
No, I didn't do anything like that. I took a pressure washer and did my driveway and around the side and stuff like that. So that was exciting. That's about it.
That's my life. Okay. Well, I had the opportunity to go to a wedding of one of my former USC alums, or one of my USC alums. I say former student, but he is a USC alum. And it was in very, 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 did I say very hot Bakersfield, 114. Yeah.
Yeah, the whole West Coast is burning.
Yeah. Well, in Bakersfield, it was pure hell. And thank God it was just, you know, but just the, you know, from the hotel to the car, from the car to the church, from the church to the car, just that little bitty spaces. I was like, oh my God. But it was really beautiful to see some of my former students and see his parents and his family. And he had postponed it 3 times last year, and to finally get to the day of Saturday to be able to get married to his honey bunny. And so it was very nice. I made sure I was social distant. I had my cute little mask to match all my outfits, because of course I had different, you know, outfit changes. They had a pre-party on Friday, so that was one outfit. Then the wedding was on Saturday. But I was going to change to the reception, but I was so tired. When I went back to my room, I went to bed. But I was ready though. So I had different masks for different occasions. So it was a beautiful thing. Well, let's see here. We've got a great show for you today. Before we jump into the show, I want to send a special shout out to my sponsor for Mindful Mondays, and that is Right Time Router and Plumbing. And I actually have one of the magnets. Look at that. How about that? Right Time Router and Plumbing. The people on the online can't see, but I have one of the magnets on my refrigerator, so I wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything. And one of their slogan is, it's never a wrong time to call Right Time. Isn't that cute? So Right Time Plumbing and Services is owned by Anthony Flowers and Claudia Flowers. And if you remember, Anthony Flowers was on our In the Mix show, and he did a wonderful, I mean, I'm still getting raving reviews about his story, about being in LA and not even flying till he was after 40, because it just wasn't something that you did in the community, and you know, all of that stuff, and just how he was able to see how he could be successful and how he could see himself successful, and being able to have that opportunity to then start his own company is a beautiful thing. They do it all, from router services, plumbing service, draining, cleaning, new installations of water heaters, you name it, he can do it. The phone number, and he does commercial as well, so residential and commercial. The phone number for those who will get their pen out, and I'll repeat it at the end, or I'll repeat it a couple times, is 310-482-7334. Once again, 310-482-7334. Right Time Router and Plumbing. So we definitely want to make sure that we patronize our Black businesses here in the Los Angeles area. He does basically Los Angeles County, and depending on how big the job, he might roll wherever you need him to roll. And also want to send a shout out to my faithful listeners out there all the way from Sacramento, California, the Youngers, more specifically, Miss Sabrina Younger, holding it down. She just had a baby. The baby will be a year in a minute. Wow, that went by fast. And then she's got one that's about 6 or 7. It's just as cute as can be. But I want to send a shout out to her, as well as to my girl, Terry, who's here in Los Angeles, that's a faithful listener to both shows. They listen to both shows. And, oh, it looks like according to, oh, thank you, Kenny, for putting this up here. It looks like we've got callers from Tulare, from Lock and Rodge, Lock and Yada Flint Ridge, a couple from Tulare. And I think that's where, actually, where Michael's mom is in that area. So anyway, in Fresno area. But anyway, want to send a shout out to all the listeners out there. And we do have a wide reach internationally, you guys. I still cannot believe we have folks in Ireland, Korea, China. Yes, Nia, honey, we are worldwide. And I think, and I always say that we probably have a lot of our armed forces out there, you know, wanting to have a touch of home. And so somehow slipped up and found us. And so, but yeah, I would definitely want to say thank you for those listeners. And I just got a fight on from Sabrina, who's at Sacramento. Now, I'm going to say this, and my sorority sister, who you guys have met, my Miss Dorsey, Mrs. Dorsey, or I call her Sor Dorsey, she did a wonderful presentation about dealing with stress in perilous times, and it was a seven-step situation, if you remember. We did the first three steps, we did four and five, and then six and seven. It talked about how to say no, how to exercise, how to eat properly. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful bit of information that really took us to a whole new level. You know, we think about these things all the time, but rarely do we really listen until maybe you're in a situation like this, you know, online radio show where you're actually paying attention and saying, yeah, I guess I do need to say no a little more often. I guess I do need to like take inventory of myself before I start caring for everyone else. And like I've said, and I haven't said in a while, since I know we have new listeners, I created this show selfishly, to be honest with you. Again, after losing my dad last March 1st and going into a straight, like autopilot. I think I was so busy making sure my mom was okay, making sure my sister was okay, then making sure my mom was okay again, and truly just really making sure my mom was okay in the sense that they had been married 58 years. And I can't even imagine. I mean, she met him when she was 14. They were high school sweethearts. So she knows him better than she knows herself. Or I should say she knows, quote, them as a them better than she knows herself. And so it was just, I just was just trying to make sure that she was okay. And I never took the time to grieve. And one day at the end of September, y'all, I tell you, I was in the car on my way to my AquaFit class. And when that hit me, all of a sudden, I felt like I was breathing, like I couldn't catch my breath, even though I was breathing normally. But in my mind, it was like, right? And all of a sudden, tears just start falling down my face. And I'm just like thinking, I still haven't put it together that it's grief. I'm thinking, what is wrong with me? And sure enough, it was basically hitting me at that point. And so I say that to say that I am a strong supporter of mental health awareness. I'm a strong supporter of getting the help you need. I know that we as a people, as a Black folk, as an African-American folk, you know, I ain't going to no psychologist. Somebody gonna think I'm crazy. I'm not going to the doctor, the Tuskegee incident. Not to discount it, because it did happen and it was real. The sterilization of women, the Tuskegee situation, all of those were real situations. However, now when it comes to mental health, there is nothing wrong with seeking out therapists. And so I'm doing this long kind of opening because the person that I have coming up is a therapist. And you don't understand that it's not about you, oh, I'm crazy, so I need help. It's about I need help before I go crazy, right? is that Nia, you can unmute if you want to go an amen corner over there. But I mean, it really is. It's not about you being crazy. It's about you being crazy if you don't do it. And when you, if you've never been to therapy, one of the things that they do is they listen. And they listen so in such a way that they're able to ask you questions on how to solve your issues, your situation. And it's just, I can't press upon you enough. We have all gone through, and everybody listening, everybody walking, driving up the street, around the corner, knows at least one person who has passed from COVID. At least one. Some more than others. And this time is very emotional. I mean, now that we're starting to get back outside again, I was able to go to the wedding. I still did my social distancing. But it was so nice to be around real people and not be on this screen in a box when it turns green when you talk. And I just, I sat there at the table and I just watched everybody. I'm watching everybody that they know each other. They're hugging and kissing. And I just sat there and I was like, I miss people. And one of the things that I really miss is the love that comes with when you miss somebody, giving someone a hug and seeing someone. But anyway, getting back to the fact that I have a therapist. I actually just finished my group grieve group therapy 2 weeks ago. 15 weeks. It started in end of January, February. 15 weeks of grieve group therapy. And some people are like, well, what do they do? Is everybody looking at you funny? First of all, everybody in the group has a loss. And each of our losses is different from the other. But some of our feelings are the same. This feeling of fear, the feeling of anxiety. And so, again, when you think about all these things, and when you have an opportunity to hear someone else, and then you know, okay, I'm not crazy. You may not want to admit whatever it was they said that you also went through or whatever, but it really clears your mind and it really makes you feel like, okay, I am not alone. So I said all of that to say, and again, my soror Dorsey, she's going to call me when I say I have a special guest, but I do have a special guest. Everybody that I have on this show is a special guest because somehow I know them more than others, but mostly I know them all pretty well. And this gives me an opportunity to tap into all of the things that they do for a living as far as being in therapy, marriage, family therapists, every kind of therapist. And so my special guest is a tad bit more special, just a little bit. I don't want to get everybody all texting me. I have known our guests since third grade, y'all. We were running around Ascension Lutheran School over off of West Boulevard and Slauson, next door to Pup and Taco. So anybody from LA, it's not a Pup and Taco anymore. There was a car wash on one corner, but the Pup and Taco, if you are from real LA, you know about Pup and Taco and them greasy tacos and them cherry slushes. Oh, how I would, you remember that, Nia?
I do remember.
So it was right next door to Pup and Taco. And we were there and we were in school together from third to sixth grade. And then we turned around and went to kind of a middle school because it was K through six. And then we turned around and went through a K through eighth and did our seventh and eighth grade together at Good Shepherd Lutheran. And then we branched off in high school. She went to Lutheran High and I went to St. Mary's Academy. Lutheran High is in Burbank.
Lutheran High was in Burbank.
It was in Burbank at the time. Okay. And St. Mary's is in Inglewood. But we would see each other at church or whoever had a birthday party and, baby showers and wedding showers and divorce parties. Everybody has a party for everything. But I want to say, Nia, I am so proud of you. She wasn't expecting this, y'all. I am so proud of you because you have taken your field and have helped so many, so many folks. You're dealing with you're a mental health and crisis manager, but your thing spreads out even that rope or that net is huge. I just want to, just in case people didn't see the promo, I just want to read what I got from her website or her
bio
that talks about what she does. And so it says, as we experience life, we inevitably encounter obstacles and stressors that challenge us to change. These moments present opportunities for transformation. Life transitions and personal experiences can sometimes be overwhelming, COVID. However, they can also be valuable seasons with a potential to generate peak and valley experiences that can alter our life's course. Ms. Henderson's goal is to provide a comfortable, non-judgmental environment to unpack and manage personal challenges and difficult circumstances. She has been doing this for how long now, Ms. Nia?
I've been working in mental health field for, I was going into 32 years. I started in my 20s. So in terms of psychotherapy, private practice, that's been just about a decade, maybe a little less than a decade.
So over 30, but with the private practice piece of it, a decade. And that's why I felt like, this would be a wonderful person to help us really talk about applying mindfulness in our lives. I know, as if you've been listening, we've been having, different aspects of this. One of my other friends said, that's Nia's jam. Mindfulness is Nia's jam. And I was like, okay. So Nia, after graduating from Lutheran High, went to none other than the University of Southern California. Fight on. That's right. And Nia was a cheerleader. Were you a song leader?
I was a cheerleader, not at USC, but I was, yes, a cheerleader through high school. And I went.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought you, so you didn't do it at USC?
I did not. No, I was running track, so that you can't mix the athletes.
Right. Okay, so you chose track. Because I know she's been a cheerleader since she was big, old enough to hold a pom-pom. And she's been, for real, like lifelong, like career cheerleader, for real. But when I think about like where we are today, and I think about the sense of mindfulness being sort of a, how do I want to describe it? It's a way, it's being aware of our thoughts, at least the definition that I have and that I've been going with. And hopefully you can maybe shed some light on the definition of being aware of our thoughts, our emotions, and how we're feeling physically and mentally. Can you offer a better definition? That was just something I looked up.
I think that, being aware of your thoughts and being aware of anything, more specifically, is sort of the fruit of mindfulness, right? That's the result of being mindful. The actual definition of mindfulness or mindful is simply here and now. It's being present, right? It's our natural, like our human capacity to sort of be in the actual moment, to bring your mind, to bring your energy to this actual moment, to right now pay attention to where your hands are, right? To notice what it feels like for your earrings to touch your neck. Mm. Is your tongue touching your teeth? Are your lips closed? Is your big toe touching the bottom of your shoe? So it's a real practice of sort of zoning or tuning out anything and everything that is not contributing to this here and now moment, which is where we live. Life happens in the present moment, if you think about it, right? There's nothing that we can do in the future until it gets to this here and now moment. And once the moment has passed, it's past. It's history. And we can't undo or participate in history. So the idea of mindfulness really is the concept of our capacity to shut out and to tune directly into the here and now. And so by doing that, to your point, you then have a larger capacity for awareness. So when I'm able to let go of, what I did yesterday and whether or not I'm going to, shop for tomorrow's meal or the, grief, anger, any experience that we sort of hang on to or anticipate takes up a lot of our space in our mind and our energy. So to tune all of that out and to simply be, right? Like the birds, like the you know, the animals, to be, to live and to trust the moment.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
That was a lot of words. So I don't know.
No, that was deep. I mean, like, okay. Wow. Wow.
So the here and now. So when you think of mindfulness, you want to think about it's more of a state of being, right? When someone says I'm being mindful, you know, in general, it's sort of a saying I'm attuning, but really in order to be aware or to attune, you have to be present. So it's the ability to be present.
So okay. So like I mentioned, we're all kind of going through so much right now, and we're kind of, I guess, coming out of it, even though to me, they're really rushing this coming out of this whole pandemic because it's not over. And now we've got this new Delta variant that's coming in, and people are just freestyling, like, okay, just because they said that we're coming out of it, people are thinking that it's gone. When I was watching the basketball game last night, and they did a panning of the audience or the crowd in, where was the game? In Milwaukee. And I'm sitting there looking at them, and my eyes got big, and I'm like, not one person has on a mask. Number one, you don't have to wear a mask. Okay, I'm going to wear a mask. But there were tens or 20,000, the newscaster, people standing there cheering, elbow to elbow, shoulder to shoulder, red sippy cups, you know, red cups, you know what that means, hollering and hugging and jumping on each other as if there was no pandemic at all. Now, I'm going to wait about a week, and we're going to hear that Milwaukee's numbers are going to quadruple. There was no sense of we've been in a pandemic. There was no sense of anything that other than we're out here and we're cheering on our team.
Right.
And I just don't get why people don't see that this is serious. Like, I guess it has to hit their family.
Right. Well, I wonder, Corliss, if you know, there's so many people and so many perceptions, right? And so many ways of managing stress or anxiety, fear. And obviously, to your point, I'm sure that, you know, all the people there are not being mindful. I don't mean to say that. However, you know, just to your point, depending on your own experience, right, and what you're carrying is going to determine to what degree you're able to be, and I'm just going to use this since you brought it up, to be mindful. Now, being mindful does not mean that there's, you know, you're not negligent or, you know, not, I don't mean to go there, but I would assume that in order to be at that game and in order to have a good time, they would have to be, you know, living in the moment, right, without concern or being preoccupied with the potential for the future. Because you mentioned, okay, we're going to see that the numbers quadruple. So you're sort of already anticipating and experiencing something that is not here. It's in the future. It's sort of a projected dynamic, which brings you on a continuum. When you're saying that and you're living that way, you're living a little outside of the most optimal mindful state. It doesn't mean to be negligent. Again, it doesn't mean to, you know, that you go around doing dangerous things, but, you know, you sort of want to find that balance because, you know, there could be, our great grandparents could still be sort of, you know, aware of the, whatever, I know what was the swine flu of 1800, you know, whatever the previous
pandemic was.
And I don't mean to make light, but you know, that grandparent that, you know, because of the depression, right. And we're two decades out and they still are having, you know, save that, don't eat that because of the depression and whatnot. So you want to find some sort of balance, right? And mindfulness can be a part of that in terms of really monitoring how realistic it is to worry and to be preoccupied versus what is appropriate and scientifically, medically optimal.
So let me rephrase then what I was saying, what I meant then. I would not be surprised if the city of Milwaukee has an increase in numbers of COVID and or Delta virus because they were all on top of each other in outside of the arena
right.
During the game, the entire game, all right. Four quarters.
Right. And then having the opportunity, I'm being optimistic, and they will then have the opportunity to manage whatever the results are when that moment arrives.
Right. That's so, a pretty way of saying it. Okay. Right. I'll go with that pretty way, but yeah.
Right. But again, so it depends on, do you put your energy into sort of the anxiety of prevention and controlling things that you may or may not be able to control? Or do you put your trust in your capacity sort of to manage what shows up?
Right.
Right. And then there is a balance in making reasonable decisions. So again, I don't mean to minimize that, you know, it may not have made sense to, you know, have 10,000 people in one room, you know, 90 days post a pandemic. I don't mean to minimize that, but
right.
Just an example of where is that balance?
Right. And I like what you're saying, because I'm more so like, Milwaukee, but really that's a personal piece is what you're saying. If you could just repeat that again about how we need to be mindful. Just repeat that little part again, because of course I was joking, but not really joking, but about Milwaukee. But what you're saying is really how we need to govern our lives as far as knowing what we can and cannot control. Can you kind of?
We're in control of ourselves, right? And I think you mentioned, I was sort of taking a few notes, you said that, you know, your previous guest mentioned being able to take a self inventory and sort of knowing who you are, and then managing, right, and making decisions according to what your capacity is. And your capacity will inform the choices you make, whether or not you go to that game in Milwaukee, whether you won't go to that game. But I don't know that it is reasonable to expect that with millions of people with different experiences, different capacities, different in every way, to all sort of become anxious or to become comfortable, for that matter. One size doesn't fit.
Right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So you asked me to re-mention in terms of the experience piece. So basically, you know, your experience informs your capacity. Your experience informs your perspective.
Right.
So that's what I meant by the way you're filtering that experience is based on the unique dynamics of Corliss.
Exactly. So for example, you know, having been 2 years and 4 months post transplant, meaning I had my bone marrow transplant in March of 2019. And, you know, like I said, 2 years, four months, I know what I need to do in order to control my environment so that I'm not personally, I just can't get sick. I did have a head cold, which ended up being more of allergies, and I didn't realize. All I know was just crazy. But I have to be very mindful about where I am and how close I am to people. Like you said, you know, I can only control myself. So again, at the wedding, you know, I was one of a few folks that had a mask on. I'm going to wear a mask, right? I made sure that I sat right behind the reserve section. I was kind of a VIP anyway. So I sat right in the aisle, right behind the reserve section where the bridesmaids and stuff, and there was a row actually between us. And then there was nobody on my row because they thought that was part of the reserve, which was good for me because then I didn't have to worry about being close to anyone. And either way, I still put my purse and a book, two chairs between, just so they wouldn't sit next to me. So I know that I have to be mindful because I can't afford to get sick. I mean, basically the basic code is about all I can do. And if it turns worse than that, it's not good. And so
a part of your mindfulness also, you may just flowing with what you're saying. So you're being mindful of what your needs are. You've done a self-assessment, and so you may have more rigorous guidelines and you know, boundaries that are non-negotiable. But I would invite you also to recognize that you want to be mindful of not having other people's circumstances, choices to sort of intrude, right? The anxiety that you might have from sort of monitoring or noticing or assessing that person that is the opposite of you, who feels invincible, whatever the opposite of the situation, because that can be tricky also. You don't want to be sort of compromised by entertaining their choices and allowing their, you know, having anxiety. Does that make not being mindful, basically, not being in your here and now, managing your bubble? So that's the tricky part. The pause, notice, identify accurately.
Oh, I got that one down. So, I mean, notice, and what was the last one? Identify
accurately, and then you're more likely to have a basis for a more optimal process or a more optimal choice. You know, the decisions and whatever is the residual of those three is usually a little more efficient. Right. Pause. No judgment. And I think that's another, I didn't go back, that mindful piece. You know, everything, all of this, what we're talking about is sort of framed in this dynamic of no judgment.
Can you do me a favor? And see, can you turn up your volume? I don't know if your volume is low. I just want to make sure everybody can hear you.
Yes. So again, I was speaking in terms of the no judgment. That is a huge part of mindfulness. So that being present minded and clearing yourself is no judgment, right? No judgment, meaning that things are not right. They're not wrong. They're not better. They're not worse. There are no objectives. It's just simply the here and now as I am, as it is.
So that pause gives you an opportunity to kind of survey the spot, for lack of better words.
That pause gives you a chance to sort of be still.
Mm.
Right? Because again, and that's something that happens pretty autopilot. We tend to go outward. Survey, right? To say survey, again, we're going out. We want to go from the inside out, not sort of from the outside in, right? We want to sort of pause and center ourselves to be with ourselves, which is, again, if you sit and you close your eyes long enough, really pay attention to what your experiences are, the senses, what you smell, what you hear, what's going on in this actual live moment. You're pulling yourself in. You're pausing and you're coming in and you're disconnecting from those dynamics and thoughts and being preoccupied with things outside of yourself.
Interesting. Okay. Interesting. Wow. So the pausing piece is really about being still, centering ourselves in the atmosphere wherever we are and how we know.
Right. You could be driving on, you could be driving in traffic.
Okay.
And it could be you could pause and notice. So they kind of go together, pause and notice. If I'm driving in traffic and I'm running late, and I can simply pause and notice and begin to pay attention to the license plates in front of me, mm-hmm. and to pay attention to the fact that there are spots on my windshield. Does that make sense? And that there's a bird nest in the red light circle.
Okay.
So there are so many things that we're not attuned to, your right. point, or paying attention to, because we're not present. So that pause is sort of a deliberate, intentional choice to pause and to notice.
I'm taking notes. Sorry. I didn't mean to be completely right. silent, but I'm not. That's good.
Which allows us then to have the opportunity to identify things accurately, right? To identify maybe and differentiate between folks who are having a party and myself and my, you know, like you said, your need for additional time and care about where you are versus someone else who doesn't. You pause and notice the differences rather than sort of lumping everything together, one size fits all. And then we have to suffer the anxiety, the fear, the dynamics of, you know, the environment and the neighbors and people around us.
And it's probably safe to assume that a lot of us don't do that. We don't take that time to pause.
Well, we don't, particularly those of us in, you know, living in the, you know, metropolitan inner city, you know, that it's just not a thing. And as people of color, you know, to be perfectly honest, I'll say this. I don't know that it's, you know, it's a privilege to be able to just simply pause and be mindful at any given time.
Right.
It is possible. I don't mean that it's not, but I do believe that it's something that's far more deliberate and something that has to be taught and practiced, because there are dynamics that just, you know, being stirred, you know, just bring, you know, we don't have time. We don't think that way. We got to go from one job to another job. We've got, you know, grandma's taking care of the grandkids and doing this and doing that. So sometimes there's so much going on that a simple pause is probably not going to be our first instinct.
Mm. Wow. And go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was gonna say, our body knows when we're, like you said, our body knows when we need to shut down.
Right.
We have human instinct that says pause, but we ignore that pause often because we just simply are living life, right? I don't have time to pause when I'm going to my second job and I'm trying to make sure I'm bringing food home and whatnot. So the, you know, the dynamics that would facilitate a pause, you know, us being able to curl up in the bed and simply relax because I'm tired. I think that a lot of people of color and a lot of people that are in different demographics don't have those natural opportunities sort of that they can take advantage of without deliberate, intentional understanding.
And I think also, and it might be because we're taught not to pause.
Right. I think we've been socialized not to pause.
Socialized. Okay, that's good.
We've been socialized not to pause. I mean, we can take it way back to just being going back. We can go back to slave days. I mean, right. When you paused and you didn't bring, you know, 5 bales of hay or a cotton or, you know, whatever, if you didn't meet the expectation, it was life or death.
Right.
So that is a dynamic as a people that we're talking hundreds of years of being socialized, mm-hmm. that this thing called pause and self-care and, you know, acting in our own self and best interest was not something that we were able to honor or experience.
Right.
Let alone right. practice and appreciate.
And the thing is, what ends up happening is because we are, you know, socialized, we got to do this, you got to do this. I mean, you were naming like, okay, raising the kids, got to do this. Ooh, do I do this? Oh, don't forget, I got to go to the store. Oh, forgot this meeting tomorrow. I mean, and that seems like that would be everyday life for everyone. But I feel like it's extra for African-Americans. Well, because go ahead.
Right. I just on a continuum. And I don't mean to be specific. We're talking as human beings. So you may have, you know, Caucasians and, you know, Latinx and any human being that lives a certain lifestyle. But I do believe that proportionately, you know, given our culture and where we as African-Americans, not necessarily all Black people, but African-Americans particularly have a long trail, a long, you know, timeline of not being able today in 2021, we can have this conversation and we can sort of posture and position ourselves to make some different choices.
Right.
Yes, I'm just honoring the fact that my great grandmother did not have she couldn't have had this conversation and just simply made the choice.
Right.
It wasn't just choice, you know, the further back you go. So therefore we have some, you know, some real deep dynamics that I don't like to just blow off, you know, as just make a choice. Just, you know, it's really not that simple.
And I think, you know, what ends up happening is if we don't pause, our body will pause us. And yeah, so that's when we end up getting flu and getting sick and you know, developing this, that, and the other. And, you know, one of the things is we handle so much more. I mean, I'm just going to just keep it Black right now, unapologetically Black right now. We are socialized to be able, especially Black women, are taught to be able to handle and multitask and be able to stay on top of our game at all times. And then we're not resting. We're not resting as a people as we should. And I really believe that because of that, we're sicker. Things happen more frequently to us in the sense of like COVID, for example. COVID slowed everyone down.
Reboot. It was an opportunity for reboot.
And it really did.
Across the globe. Because as a citizen of the world, and this is what I'm saying, you know, any place, anywhere, everyone was forced to pause. God said everyone reboot here. Everyone got sent to mindful timeout. Whether you're on stock market, whether you were, you know, it didn't matter. Everyone got put on timeout. And, you know, you mentioned that you were speaking about health, and I had a thought that, you know, we talk about, you know, the health in America, right? And African Americans, you talk about, you know, the different like high blood pressure and cholesterol and all those things. You know, a lot of those things at the very least are complemented by the fact that folks are grinding without breaks. There's no interval, right? It doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be cured, but we could definitely have a far less, right? Less numbers, less intense if it was guaranteed that every person was guaranteed to have a vacation, right, was if you were guaranteed that every you could use your vacation time that you earned at work on one of those two jobs, and actually when you use the vacation, be relaxed.
Right.
And when you do relax, you're not worried about the money you spent on the vacation or the relaxation, not paying the bill the next month. You know, there's all right. these layers that prohibit or prevent us from total mindful, back to the mindful, you know, which is really shutting down, tuning away, almost ignoring. You know, we might say ignoring, but it's, you know, to be able to let go. Right. Just let go. And so there are some consequences to letting go, or at least perceived consequences. I don't right. know what they are, but. You know, we have perceived consequences. I can't just let go. I can't lay in this bed for 30 minutes and just pay attention to the sound of the fan and listen to the refrigerator turn on and off, is what a person might think. But right. really, in 24 hours, what does really, are you really going to make everything, is everything going to crash because you take 10 minutes once a day to shut down? So that I don't want to get, I can't get into the specifics, but
no, that's it.
It's a larger dynamic. And I just wanted to make sure that I didn't minimize the construct, right? The context that everyone who's choosing and desiring to sort of gain mindfulness as a tool, it's not, I don't believe that accessing the tool and practicing the tool is going to be as easy or as hard for everyone equally. And that's regardless of race or gender. It really right. depends on, back to that point, who you are and what you're coming into this with.
Right. So you talk about pausing, being an intentional choice to take a lunch break. We all, it's the law, you know, we work 8 hours, you're supposed to have an hour or whatever that is, that your job or however your job, you know, divides, like a 9 hour day. And then that way you have the hour. And a lot of us eat at our desk. I know I do, when I was, you know, in the office, and I had to learn, or when I run to the restroom, I would see folks all running to the campus Starbucks, right? You know, we're supposed to have two breaks and a lunch, literally, but you know, who really does that? You know, in my mind, it's like, well, who does that? And so when I see other people, I'm like, you know what, Corliss, I you know what? I need to be in, what'd you say?
Who does that? Healthy people, healthier
right.
people.
Healthy people, right. And so I have really been forced to say, okay, Corliss, you are tripping. Why are you leaving the campus and you look up on the second floor of the student union and that's the VP suite where everybody's at and they gone. And I'm walking off at 7 o'clock. And they left for real at 5. Like, you know, I had to really learn how to go, okay, let me stop. Let me end my day. And it really took a serious effort, because it was just like, sometimes you just get more work done when there's no phone calls. I get more work done from 5 to 8 p.m. than I do from 8 a.m. to 5. Because well, it's just, go ahead.
And I would dare say that, and this is, again, this is where we're socialized.
Right.
We're socialized, because I'm not convinced that when you ask a person that lives the life that you're describing, if I were to ask them, what is your fair share of work in one day? Mm. I would wonder if you compared what you had as a personal expectation as to what your level of, you know, your daily achievement, right? Is your daily achievement that you should be putting out some, you know, at a rate of 20, 30 per second? And then the people who are leaving at 5 are putting out at half that and feel good about it.
Mm.
And don't feel that they owe anybody. They don't have to earn and hold a job, right?
Right.
Sort of a mindset, right? I'm here because I'm offering you my talent at a certain rate.
Mm.
And other than, you know, if I don't do enough and more, somehow I'm going to be in trouble. I'm going to be lose my job. And again, that's that socialized part. I think that goes way back to the slave days.
Right.
Some, you know, folks are doing us a favor to sort of work on their company and make their business earn billions right. of dollars.
I want to make sure I hit. Oh. Say that last part. I'm sorry.
It's sometimes it's a shift in mindset that right. you are more important than the job that you're doing. You know, because if you're not here, then they'll just replace you and someone else will do it.
Right. And in a heartbeat, So I want to go back to what you said. Pause was number one. You said notice. I just want to make sure that everybody understands each of the components that you just mentioned, because it's very important as you explain it, that people are, me personally and others, are like, oh yeah. So when you say take notice, you said pause, be still, center yourself, be intentional. What about this notion of notice?
Well, noticing, because when you do pause for the first time, you want to notice. You want to notice your thoughts. What comes up, right? What comes up? Am I anxious? What comes up? What am I noticing? And this is where you notice with no judgment, right? When I pause, I notice that my house is dirty, right? I notice that, you know, I coulda, woulda, shoulda. I notice that, you know, I'm not happy in this relationship, right? I can pause and I can notice that I am not meeting my full potential. I'm slacking. I'm shortchanging, right? Whatever it is that sort of comes to the moment when you're pausing, you really do want to notice with no judgment, right? And thereby have awareness. And now that I have this awareness that my house is far dirtier than I have been allowing myself to notice, you know, now, you know, you can't make a choice if you don't have the option. Right. So by noticing and by giving yourself some more, you know, information, you now have an option the next time you have a few minutes to maybe dust something that you normally would not have dusted. Right. Or to take care of, because you can't take care of something you don't know. You don't know what you don't know.
Right. Wow. That's deep. Wow.
I'm a talking head, but I sometimes I get carried away. Hopefully this is
No. That's why I'm like, go ahead. No, right. That's why I asked. That's why I wanted you to explain it a little bit more.
Right. So that noticing is just lots of things. Notice your thoughts. Right. Some people don't want to slow down because they've got some thoughts that are not pleasant, right? That they've not intense having someone to talk to or therapy. And as long as I'm busy, as long as I'm the top productor and producer and they're paying me and I'm getting raises and I'm being cheered to stay on 100 miles an hour all the time, how is that serving me?
When
you can pause and notice that the reason I'm VIP, I'm a VP of the president, that's one thing, but maybe it's because I can't stand to pause long enough to notice and to manage some of the undertones that I'm distracted from. Right. And that's as an individual. And that goes for us as a people. If we keep moving and shaking and baking and moving and shaking and baking, we don't have to pause and notice that, you know, my son, too, to wear a hoodie and come up. You know, I mean, it's just a way of just sort of making the pace.
Wow. That's OK. You're right. That's deep. That's very deep. So pause, notice, and then the third method or the third thing that you mentioned was to identify accurately. Talk a little bit more about that.
It's just, and these are just sort of my own way of sort of when I'm in therapy or when I'm talking to people to kind of give them a chance to kind of pace out. Sometimes we have a plan of action, it's a little easier, but identifying accurately is basically don't be in denial. Right? Identify accurately. Woulda, coulda, shoulda, I thought, right? Up until now, I never knew. But once you pause and you notice, go ahead and identify accurately. My house is pretty trashed, right? You know, I've been living real triflingly, right? You know, whatever is, I'm just going with the unclean house, you know, sort of, it's okay to sort of identify accurately, because if we misidentify, how can you solve what you don't, if you misidentify the problem, then you're not going to ever solve. In a way that's going to be efficient, right? That's going to be worth anything. So if I go through all of this and then come up with my own little soft version, right, to sort of placate myself and not really own my truth, then I'm going to be processing and solving something just to the left of what really is going on.
Wow.
So that identify accurately is that if you misidentify, if I misidentify something, then it's to know, right? Oh, I'm a great helper. Oh, I help with the church and I go help with, you know, the kids at the school, and I'm the best helper. I'm a people person. I serve the people, and I'm a helper. And when you pause and then you notice and you identify that maybe you do a lot of helping, but you're not very helpful. That could be a real gut punch to your ego. But you want to be able to identify accurately that maybe I'm doing all this helping and I'm not helpful. I'm just trying to give it sometimes when there's something that's incongruent that you may not be willing to sort of own. You want to notice and identify that accurately. Because if my intention really is to be helpful, then maybe I need to slow down and stop helping so much so that I can be tired and not so irritable when I'm working with the kids that I'm trying to help. So that was the best loop I could think of in terms of how identifying accurately can sort of loop back to something that might be incongruent.
Colette, go ahead and ask your question that you had put in the chat. Oh, okay. Oh, that's where you don't have sound. So she was wondering, what if you don't know or you're not willing to accept that you need to, you know, identify these things? Well, most people are not willing to be themselves.
Well, that's the majority of the population on the planet, right? We are as we are. Wherever you go, there you are, as you are, right? And so this is why I'm saying I really believe that as I begin to study this and, you know, really get deeper into it, it really is almost a privilege. It's a blessing. It's a, you know, it's an opportunity to sort of have that insight to maybe begin the snowball, right? Because I don't think that there's any aha moment that you can name it, tame it. Oh, this is what I need to do. I'm going to just like I am a trainer. I do fitness training, right? I've done that for years. And a person can identify that they need to modify their weight. They need to eat more healthy. They need to lose, you know, 50 pounds because, you know, they're going to die, right?
Their
heart's going to blow out of their chest. Even with that information, people sometimes can't make the shift. Right. I need to stop smoking because I'm going to literally die of lung cancer.
Right.
Still sneaking out back, air quotes, sneaking to smoke.
Right.
To cancer. So to your point, so what do you do when someone's in denial? You know what I'm saying? I think that it's a process. Right. It's not something that is achieved because you intellectually agree with it. Right. That's the first step, to understand it and agree with it. And then it becomes a practice, just like a baby has to crawl and then a baby toddles and you fall and sometimes you slip. It's really a process. I'm an ADHD kid, right? This whole thing has been life-changing for me because I'm a go-getter.
Interesting. So are there, I mean, I'm sure there are, but in your opinion, what you like, we have about 8 minutes. Is there a 2-minute exercise to help us to pause that we can go through? I can go through with you here on the air and on the radio, and my listeners can stop if they're not driving, can go through that will help us. please don't drive and do this, but yes.
We can just do like a 30 second. It doesn't have to be very long. 30 seconds.
Okay.
I can just walk you through a mindfulness practice, right?
Okay.
It's not a meditation, it's just a mindfulness practice. And it's something that you would do independently, right?
Okay.
So if you're not driving, close your eyes. And I'll dare say if you are driving, just pay attention to my voice.
Okay.
So if you're going to close your eyes. Let's start by taking a really deep breath in through your nose and exhale through your mouth. What I really want you to do is join the moment. Keep your eyes closed. Or if you're driving, just find a point of focus on the road. The goal is to pay attention. To really notice, paying attention to the things in the here and now. Are your shoulders relaxed? Are they stiff? Notice your fingers. Notice your toes. If you hear any sounds, lean into the sound. Pay attention to the sound. Notice any colors behind your eyelids. You want to stay in the here and now, this present moment. Notice your thoughts. If you have a thought that comes to your mind, just notice the thought. And then come back to your breath or to your toes and your shoes. You can get back to the thought once you come back from this practice. Pay attention to the sound of sound. Not quiet, but present. Notice if we're sweating. Notice the heat underneath your bottom touching the chair. Disconnect from anything that's not contributing to this actual moment. And on the count of three, we'll open our eyes, but we won't speak for at least a second. One, two, three. There you go. So that was a mini version of the idea of what mind. So within those 45 seconds, you know, it wasn't long, like a minute. There were moments of mindfulness, right? Off and on, where you were completely just a breathing being without the preoccupied thoughts and without the needs or desires. You're just a breathing vessel with senses and sense of taste, smell, sight, touch, and etc.
Wow. Like the fan was on here, so I was concentrating on the fan because it's just a continuous, it doesn't go up, it doesn't go down, it's just a nice continuous sound. And so by me focusing on that, I felt really relaxed. Even though it was like, what, a minute, half a minute, 3:45, a minute or so, I could just hear the fan, and I just felt at peace for.
So you did. So what you did was you intentionally put your focus on the on hearing, right? You took all your energy, and you were focused on hearing the sound of the fan, right? So we can't be mindful and worrying about what I'm gonna cook for dinner tomorrow at the same time. So this is where you end up giving your brain a break. It's some, you know how the computer, if it gets hot and you shut it off for a second and then you reboot it. It's just an opportunity for your brain to reboot. And if even for 3 minutes, you want to get, you know, that live wire is hot because it's just constantly, it's like leaving something on all day and night and day and night and day and night, and just simply disconnecting for a minute. And then reconnecting gives everything a chance to sort of reboot versus straining and holding and straining and holding. So it is a valuable resource, if not just for a couple minutes, a few times throughout the day, to not think, to not feel, to not give energy to your thoughts, right? To just dismiss them for just 2 minutes. I'll get right back to the stress. I'm going to get right back to you. But right now, I'm going to sort of disconnect. Like the cable company says, they tell you to unplug it. You know how your cable box goes off? They tell you to unplug it, plug it back in, and everything boots right back up.
Right, right. Wow.
But more efficiently on the other side.
Are there any apps that you could suggest? Because, you know, everything has an app now, and a lot of these apps are free. Is there an app that you suggest that would help us to at least start this process? Because I need to do that. Go ahead.
There's the Calm app. Obviously, everyone knows about the Calm app. There are a couple apps. Of course, I can get them to you, because there's a couple apps that are by some persons of color that would like to, offer. There are some really good apps out there, but I think one of the more popular ones is Calm. And I'm sorry that I probably should have had this loaded before you ask. I can give them to you and you can share.
But I would definitely be excited to hear from the ones that were created by African Americans. I think that would be a great way
So we've got the Abide, we got some that are based on Christian based. So there's Abide, it's called Shine, Shine. There's the Calm app. There's an app called My Strength.
My Strength? Uh-huh. Is that what you said? Okay.
My Strength. Whispers from Above. So there are quite a few. There are all kinds of apps out there. If you just put in mindfulness, or if you put in sort of yoga, I would go with mindfulness because it's a genre. And they do work.
Okay. And I think I appreciate you, and I put you on the spot, but I know you were ready because this is your jam, right? I put you on the spot and I wanted you to take us through what that looks like. And I know for me, I could say that out loud for someone else, but for me to try to think about what you were saying. And that's why I asked you about the apps, because I know that, hearing that voice and that calming voice or that music, whatever. And I haven't used Calm. It makes sense that it would be called Calm. But to be able to download those types of apps so that when we take that break in the day that we deserve, we are supposed to get 2 15-minute breaks. If you work at night, an 8-hour day, you're supposed to get two breaks. Do we take them? No. You're supposed to get an hour lunch or at least 45 minutes. Do we do that? Most of us? No, because we're always moving. I know for me, I had to literally, say and put in my calendar, and it's there's no ending, that I put from 12 to 1:30, 7 days a week. It says stop for lunch now. So it's like talking to me. My calendar talks to me, and I'm like, ooh, it's lunchtime. But then if I need to alter it to make it a little bit earlier because I'm going to go somewhere for lunch, or if there's a different meeting, it's later. But the fact that to put that in your calendar, in your day, and there's nothing wrong with that because you're supposed to have it. It's labor law. Think of it as labor law. We shouldn't be eating at our desk.
I would dare say, and we're closing here, but that's the big break. But what I'm inviting people to realize is that throughout the day, every hour, you set your timer to go bing every hour, and you can just simply shift your focus from your task and instead focus on where your toes are in your shoes, right? And 30 seconds to reboot so that you can then go through all these hours of the day without sort of burning the one live wire, without disconnect. So I just want to invite that mindfulness doesn't have to be so structured. It can simply be when you go to the restroom, when you're in the bathroom, that you're mindful the whole time you're in there. You're paying attention to the temperature of the water. When you touch the handle, you notice if it's warm or if it's cold. You're basically paying attention in a very deliberate and exclusive way. So anytime you get up from your desk, when you go to the copy machine, you could be mindful. You can pay attention to things about the machine that you've never paid, because you're only focusing on the machine. You're not worrying about anything else. So again, I want to make sure that folks realize it doesn't have to be this sort of orchestrated, just like losing weight. I got to get a gym membership. I got to get the flow. That's a part of it. It's great. But you can also just sort of start practicing in increments of seconds.
Wow. Well, thank you, Miss Mia Henderson. You have really, and I just got a text from Terry. She was like, oh my God, great exercise. I haven't done that. So I invite everyone to take heed of the pause, notice, and identify accurately every situation. I appreciate that, Mia. I'm steady taking notes always to just because it's really about being mindful and to take those times to really focus on ourselves, even if it's just a minute. And I only use the lunch example was my first stop.
Absolutely.
First time saying, okay, this was the first thing I did. Now I can put in the days. I can put in the extra time.
But all thank you. Different levels for everyone. So again, your point, I just wanted to make sure. So some folks don't even go to work. They don't have a lunch. Does that make sense? So I just want to make sure this is really a continuum. But thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
No, thank you very much. I know we're 5 minutes over, but thank you so much. I just wanted her to tell us that. So thank you very much. I'm going to send a shout out to Right Time Rooter for sponsoring the show. And thank you. And we'll see you next week on Mindful Mondays. Bye for now.